over Shabbos in the Potomac, somebody said they heard a shir from me, they'd like to ask a kasha. So I said, if it's a really tough kasha, there's three Rabbi Cosmas. So I direct like the real difficult kashas to my brother and my father. Last pasuk in Koheles, Sov Dovar Hakol Nishma, Es Elokim Yirah Ves Mitzvosav Shmor Kizeh Kol Adam, which seems to be saying, in a nutshell, the totality of the entire Torah lifestyle, is to fear God and to observe His mitzvahs. What does it mean to fear God? What does it mean, Yirah Shamayim? Is there a siddur around somewhere? Oh, right over here. This also has for Shabbos. I'm going to ask a question, and what I'm going to say today, Lav Dafka answers the question, but there might be a connection. On Shabbos, we said the Birchas HaChodesh. The Lashon is, V'siten lanu chayim aruchim, chayim shel shalom, toiva, brocha, parnasa, chilut tzatzomais, chayim sheish bem yirah shamayim, it's one, Yiras Chet, two. Then it continues. Chaim Shetevanu Avas Torah Yerushalayim. Three. Three Lashonos of Yerushalayim. What could these three expressions be referring to? So I saw a very beautiful Orcha Sadikim who at the end says, Mama Shechidish, knocks you off the chair. He brings us three kinds of Yerushalayim. He says the first one, he calls a Yira Grua Ma'od. He says a very inferior level. It's almost negative. Kagon Odom She'eno Yor Melfnei Elokim, a person who doesn't fear God. Ach Kishayasa Shomaisa Toiv, who also Nebnei Odom. What he does, positive, it's because of peer pressure, because of society. That's the motivation. So we'll call it a costume. He's wearing the costume of Yerushalayim. He does every single mitzvah. But it's because what will the neighbors say? What will my wife say? What will the kids say? You know, I've been in contact with people who are considering very major aveiros. And they said to me, I'm not going to do it because of my children. Second level, Hasheni. Hu yorem ilfnei Elokim. Ach hu yorem ilfanav machmas onesh gehenem. He fears Hashem, but it's because of the consequences. You might not get Gan Eden, the kind of negative consequences of Gehenna. So in other words, this is a person who's not doing it because of people, not doing it because of society. He's doing it because he knows there's going to be a consequence, which is a very important yisoid, the yisoid of Schar V'Onesh. He lives that reality, and that's what motivates him. That's the second level. So what's his commentary on that? He says, "V'zeho ish, afilu makayim kol ha-Torah b'kavon hazu, toivu." That's considered a positive, good madrega. Ach lo higia le'ikur ha-Torah. That's not the ikur toivah. Why? Ki kol kavonoso ba'avodoso eino el le'toivus asma. At the end of the day, it's for himself. It's not for Hashem. Aval Ashlishi, the third type, Hamargolas HaToyva, the precious stone. Zehu sheyorem ilfnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo mipnei shum dover ba'olam. There's no side benefits, no credit card points. Rak shu nirod milafonov. He trembles before the presence of Hashem. Bezorcho gdulosu gvrosu, when he recalls His greatness and His might. So these are the three levels. So here comes the big chiddush. When I saw this, I couldn't believe it. Which level of Yerushalayim are we obligated to do? Which level is the mitzvah? He brings psukim here. Es Hashem Elokecha tira. V'atah Yisrael ma Hashem shol mimach kim liyira. Which level is the one we're obligated? So he says it's not the third level. Vavor shezeh dover omok ma'od ma'od lefnei bi'anam. It's very deep. So he says, Vavor shezos ha-madrega ha-shlishis hi-kosha la'asik. It's difficult to achieve this madrega. L'chein tzivsa ha-toyra la'asos ha-maisa li'iras onish. The commandment to fear God is because of consequences. That hit me like a rock. And then I open up the Mesillas Yesharim. And I see Yischolek. Zok the Mesillas Yesharim in his Akdoma. When he brings the mitzvah of Yira, let's see if we can find him. Here he says, he brings the Pasuk. Pasuk brings all the different madrigas. The Yiras Hashem Alokecha, the Leches Bechol Drocha, the Avo. So he defines each one, like in a nutshell. He says, what's Yira? Hayira, he Yiras. Rav Musa Yisbarach, I better shut off my phone. Yiras. Yiras, Rav Musa Yisbarach, Shiro Melafanav, Kamo Shiro Melafnei Melach Kodol Vanoira. So it's a machloikis, Orchas Sadikim Masilos Yisharim, which Yira is commanded. So I want to make 2 points, and then you're free to go. Point number one. That the Orchas Adikim says there's 3 levels of Yira Shamayim, and he says the first one, Ha'achas Yira Grua Ma'od, it's very inferior. And that's if Lamaisa, you're doing it just because of peer pressure. There's Gemara and Brochas. Is there a Brochas over there? You see how a person learns, goes in through here, and it goes out through here. You know, I didn't have with me a search program. And I was looking for this Gemara, and I knew, I'm pretty sure it was in Brochus. So I started from the last daf, and I didn't learn it, I just thumbed through until I found it on daf Chav Chesam and Beis. Gemara says, you know, everybody, every one of us, one day we're going to be on our deathbeds. So it's interesting to see how the Tanayim, you know, what went through their heads? What went through their minds when they were on their deathbeds? Gemara brings Rabbi Elazar. Now it brings Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Nichnasu Talmidav Levakra. Kivin Shirosam, when he saw his Talmidim, his cholivkos, he began to cry. They saw that he was depressed. Amalo Talmidav. So they gave him certain titles, which I don't understand the depth in them. Ner Yisrael, Amod HaYemini, Patish HaChozak, why are you crying? So he said, look, if they were taking me before a mortal, a king of flesh and blood, and I knew he was angry at me, even though he's not going to be around a long time, his anger is not going to be here for a long time, puts me in prison, everything is temporary. He said, I would be worried. Look, they're taking me before Hashem. Chai v'kayam lo'olam lo'olmei olamei. So they said to him, Omer lo Rabbeinu Baruchinu, give us a bracha. He's on his deathbed. It's like the final message from the Rebbe. What's his final bracha? Yehi Ratzon Shetei Mora Shamayim Aleichem Kamora Boser V'dom. Fear Hashem like you fear people. His Talmidim were shocked. Ad Kan, that's the whole thing. He said, Halavai. Because people, you know, we do things in private that we would not want people to see. So therefore, I would like to say that the first level of Yira Shamayim, which Or Tzadikim rightfully calls a Yira Grua Ma'od, I think that's a very important madrega. And therefore, it's a reason for a person to be a part of a community, part of a tzibor, part of your family, because the closer you are with whatever tzibor, whatever framework, the more a person will feel compelled to toe the line to a certain degree, that there are certain norms in our tzibur that we're not going to violate. So if we sort of drift away, there's a certain freedom there, which is not the best. That's the point, first point I want to make. Second point is, how do we get to Yiras Romanus, to this feeling? By the way, I'm not there at all, but how does a person begin to climb, to feel the greatness and majesty of the Bodhi? So, just one possibility is if you feel like a pawn. And we all know when you play chess. So the mice of the chess pieces are simply moved around, and the whole purpose is for the players. The Rabbeinu Shlomo plays chess with us, but the difference is the whole purpose is for the chess pieces. We're the pawn, and there's a hashkocha which is moving us. Every single person, every step of the way is guided to a certain place. And sometimes the place can be very unexpected. When you feel that moment of pawnhood, you feel the Borei Olam. And I felt that on Wednesday. I'm going to share with you a little story, and then take the story where you want to take it. I've probably flown in my lifetime, I don't know, so many flights, I don't know, 100 flights, 200 flights. And I was never zoiche to end up in business class. I didn't know, what's business? Business class is pashut the place you go through in order to get to coach class. I was like the major professional coach class flyer. So I'm flying from Tel Aviv to JFK, and there's a stopover in Rome. From Rome to New York, which is a nice long flight, I found myself in business class. Tzorich and Godel. No idea how I ended up there, but it said Dorsheni. Anyway, so I'm sitting there before liftoff, and I'm taking in Bos Hayes business class. Because I'm such a professional coach class flyer, I really noticed four differences. Number one, you can stretch. You sit like a mensch, not like a sardine. How much can stretch? Number two, reach up to the storage bin, and there's a place to put your stuff. Not only that, but if you walk around with the jacket and the hat, usually by the end of a regular flight, you can't even recognize what you put up there. But here, plenty of room, mamish. Not only did I sit like a mensch, my hat and jacket did. Number three, I never saw such a professional babysitting service before. It operated so smoothly. Every 5 minutes, somebody came over to me. Drink, newspaper, want a toy, anything you wanted. Mamish, perfect synchronization. And number four, they give you a little bag with every type of accessory you want, you need, toothbrush, toothpaste, everything. Sitting back, melting into the pleasure of business class. And then, out of the corner of my eye, I see an elderly man. The business class is almost empty. He's sitting there, looks very brittle, like you could just, he'd fall over. There's a woman hovering over him, straightening his hat and his everything. And then I see her go over to the stewardess. I can't understand Italian, but I sort of figured out from the body language that she was saying, look, the place is empty. I have to take care of my father. Can I sit here? And the answer was, yes, if you pay, kach v'kach, amount of dollars. Now, to be honest with you, if I would have had money in my pocket, I would have put my hand in my pocket, gone over to the stewardess and say, the treat is on me. I didn't have money. But since I have elderly parents, elderly in-laws, when you're in that matzav, you're sensitive to the situation. So I walked over and I said to her, do you understand English? She said, yeah. I said, how about if we switch seats? What about all the extra money you paid for this business class seat? She said, I did not pay an extra penny. It's a win-win situation. I said, are you sure? 100% sure. I said, look, so the stewardesses don't make a fuss, because they do make a fuss. Right after liftoff, come over, and we'll switch. She comes over after liftoff, goes right to her father, takes care of this, that. I call her over. That's what she said. Are you sure? I said, till we switch. And I couldn't understand why her seat was the absolute worst seat on the plane. Bus Hayes, the worst seat on the plane. There are seats where you cannot move the seat back, because there's a wall behind it, and it's right next to the bathroom. It's a very difficult seat. I could understand, like, why? Like, from business class, from Shmei Shamayim, mamash to the depths. Okay, the Rebbe Shalom wanted. So, if the story would end here, nice little story. Part two. I'm sitting there, and I meet the Ganze Mishpacha. Who's the Ganze Mishpacha? So we have one daughter and the father in business class, another daughter, a son, another son, who holds up his hand to me. His hand is like, I don't want to use a safer, but it's like five times the size of my fist. He says to me, "We are very tight." And then I meet the dead mother in the baggage compartment. So what was going on here? You know, here you see puny man. You know, here, I think, you know, devoted daughter is taking care of her very, very fragile father. Okay, I'm in the same matzav, I have fragile parents, we'll switch seats. That was not what was going on at all. What was going on was, this family was accompanying their mother to her final journey. And why, if they live in Rome, were they going to New York? So the family brought me in. It was like I became an adopted part of the family. 6 years earlier, one of the sons died tragically. The mother never recovered. So the mother said before she died, "I want to be buried next to the son." The son lived in New York, was buried in New York. It was the last second, so they got the seats, the last second, so that's when they got the worst possible seats on the flight. So I had actually walked in, it's like sometimes you walk into the bank, you know, regular bank, and suddenly you're in the middle of a holdup. I walked into a major drama of this particular family. At the end of the flight, we were mamish, kimishpocha achas. Okay, so before we landed, I came back to my seat. She was going to go back to her coach seat, and I said to her, "You stay here. The place is empty. If they make a fuss, slabotki yeshiva. We'll make their voice heard." Anyway, I felt like a pawn that had been lifted up, moved to business class. I had no idea why, but I was moved like a pawn. And when you feel that, feel how tiny you are, how great is the Rebbe. Shmi zeichet to hear besoros tovos and see the geula shleima b'korach.